I'm going to mention something first of all. It's an acronym that's not original with me, of course, but it's about prayer. And that is ACTS, A-C-T-S. And A is adoration, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, and S is supplication. That's kind of good to hang our thoughts on sometime we're trying to pray. So the very highest form of prayer is adoration. And I want to go over an adoration prayer tonight with you. Two of my favorite verses, the last two verses from Jude, verses 24 and 25. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. I've prayed this lots of times. In fact, sometimes when I get up in the morning, I feel kind of blue. I just quote that scripture, and it usually gets me perked up. So Jude 24 and 25. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. So now to him that is able to keep you from falling. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I to encourage us. We would fall if it weren't for God. You know that? In fact, reading that, I just got this one line out of John Gill. I like this a lot. They are not able to keep themselves. You're not able to keep yourself either. Sometimes we get overconfident. We think we can keep ourselves. I've made this statement before. It does not only take God to get us saved, it takes God to keep us saved. If the devil, if God gave me salvation, JJ, I hear salvation now. Take it and do what you can with it. He'll lose it just like that because the devil is too strong for us. I would too. So it doesn't only take God to get us saved, it takes God to keep us saved. And sometimes we get down. We know that. We're all sinners. We know that. We could all probably confess being miserable sometimes and backsliding and all kinds of stuff like that. But the beautiful part is we'll never fall in the same sense unregenerate will. We'll never fall away finally. We'll have lapses of faith. A lot of the most wonderful people in the Bible have lapses of faith. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful. But guess what? Not only one time, two times, he would have sold his wife into another man's harem to save his own skin. That's astounding, isn't it? And we know Peter was famous for courage. In fact, he really did have a lot of courage. If you look at that scene in a garden, when he cut that high priest's sword off, that was a great, big, huge crowd. It wasn't really a mob, it was a crowd of armed men, and Peter was ready to die for Jesus Christ. So, but when he left on his own, of course, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And David, a man of God's own heart, and yet he wound up committing the terrible sin of adultery and murder that he killed Uriah the Hittite. So we can fall, but don't stay down. The devil wants to get you down and put a foot on your neck so you can't get back up. Of course, he's a liar. So now to him that is able to keep from falling, I got several scriptures I just want to read to you. I won't make a lot of comment on them. I hope they'll be a blessing to you. And I've got a list here. If you want it, I'll give them to you. One of my favorite scriptures about this whole thing is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, God had begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it. He's not going to let you alone. You know what's happening right now? You may not realize this. According to the Bible, you're right now being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's a quantum leap of that. When we die, I know that. But over in Romans, when he talked about that, in Romans 8, 29, being conformed, we're being predestinated to be conformed image of his son, we're being conformed now. You might realize we are. You say, I can't see any growth, but God can see some growth. Even sometime in our bad times, God can even use, and he knows how to chastise us and maybe have unpleasant experiences to draw us closer to him. So God's never going to quit his work. Aren't you glad of that? He said, okay, I started it, you finish it. Being confident of this very thing that he which had begun to get a work in you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. The Bible is the sword of the Spirit. Carry Philippians 1:6 with you. Next time the devil jumps on you, you just jab it into him. He'll say, you're no good. You can't make it back up. You've fallen too far this time. You have grieved me by a thousand falls. You have grieved the Holy Spirit by which yourselves have redemption. Get that sword out. Stick it in the devil. Being confident of this very thing, he which has begun a good work in you will perform it the day of Jesus Christ. All right, John 17, 11 and 12, and this is Jesus Christ's high priestly prayer. John 17, 11 and 12, the high priestly prayer. And he's talking to the Father. And now I am no more in this than the world. He shortly would not be in the world. But these are in the world, and I come unto thee. O Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that may be one as we are. He prayed for you. Isn't that amazing? He called his Father, Holy Father. This is kind of like eavesdropping on the Holy of Holies. So, Lord, keep them in thy name. I've been taking care of them while I've been here on earth. But now I've got to go to heaven and you keep them. And so then it says in verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them. In thy name, those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled. So you're going to be preserved in grace and persevere because the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for you. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He prayed for Peter. Peter, Satan had desired to sift you a week. Maybe he had sifted you a week sometime. I doubt he never got on me that bad. Sometimes he got on me real bad. So you may go through some crisis. I can't get out of this. But he said, the devil had desired to have you to sift you a week. I have prayed for thee. Then he didn't say if. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The same Peter who grieved the Lord by denying him three times in an aggravated fashion in the Savior's greatest hour of need, wound up, hallelujah, preaching the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Isn't that wonderful? God recovered him. He'll do you also. Then one of my good old favorite sugar sticks, I may call it, from one year or two, I'm sure, is John 10, 27 through 30. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. My sheep. We're his sheep. Isn't that great? We're his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And we do. We do hear his voice. I know them. He doesn't mean I know about them. I know them. That's an intimate word, a relationship. I'm acquainted with them in an intimate way. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And we do to some extent. You say, I'm not following God. Well, if you're not, get on and start following him. You are following him to some extent. But you ought to be obvious you're following him. You ought to follow him closer. I've been playing a song lately on YouTube, and it's a great song, Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow. I just love that song. Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow. I'll go with him. I'll go with him all the way. But I really like the last verse the best, though. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He'll go with me all the way. We go with him because he goes with us. So to some extent, we go with him. We all want to follow him close. When Peter got in a mess, it said the Bible said he would follow him afar. That's where he messed up. He should have been closer to him. I remember Brother Goodall preaching a sermon about that one time. But he shared my voice. I know them. They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. We read that all the time, don't we? Eternal life. We ought to jump up and shout when we read that. Eternal life. Listen, folks. You've got eternal life in you now. You're not going to die in the full sense of the word. You'll die in the sense your body will be separated from your soul. But he's abolished death, have brought life and mortality to life through the gospel. So you've got eternal life now. It'll never come to an end. That's all right. I have eternal life. Many people have eternal death. Let me tell you a story I wrote one time for the Daily Herald in Memphis. I call it the bony finger. The bony finger. Ready for this? The bony finger? All right, I said, there's a man who's a brilliant man. He's an entrepreneur. He got a lot of energy. He got a big company. He's opening up branch offices. He's on top of the world because he doesn't know the Lord. He's on top of the world, okay? So he goes in one morning. He's full of venom and vigor. I'm thinking of going to my office and opening up a brand new branch office. All of a sudden, he feels a bony finger touch his shoulder. He turns around. There's that guy, that big hood, that scythe. He said, no, I can't go. I'm busy. I got to open up the branch office. He kept doing that bony finger. Brothers and sisters, that bony finger comes to everybody some of these days. But for a child of God, it won't be that bony finger. It'll be a joyful angels coming to bear souls to be with Jesus Christ. There are a lot of rich people and ungodly people that bony finger, they can't turn him away. Eternal life, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That were engraven on the palms of his hand, the Bible says. My Father which gave them is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now we're pretty secure, I think. Wouldn't you think so? I'm in Jesus Christ's hand, and he's in the Father's hand just like that. Come on, devil. I don't want to say it in a smart mouth way. Come on. Come on, world. Who shall do anything to charge a God elect if God is justified? Our own consciences condemn us, but brother, even our conscience can condemn us totally. Aren't you glad? Now, a few more on this. Now to him, able to keep you from falling. I'm still on that clause. 1 Peter 1:5. Talk about us. In this particular situation, they were suffering persecution. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We are kept. We're guarded. We're safe through the faith that God gives us. It's not that we're a big deal. We got a lot of faith. The faith that God gave us. And when you were born again, God gave you faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And 1 John 5:4 says, he that is born of God, for whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. You overcome the world, even though you don't realize it. He that is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thank God for that faith he's given us. And finally, finally, on this point. You know, I've got a confession to make. Some of y'all might remember Brother Reuben Baskin, a dear, simple-minded, simple, wonderful Israelite in whom was no guile. And when he got kind of sick, I didn't go see him as much as I should have. Brother Bobby Poe was here with me at that time. Bobby was real faithful. I'm an executive lady. I don't know if I was disorganized or something. I didn't go see Reuben like I should have. So God gave me a way to make that up. He had to go to a hospice. And I got to go and see him every day of about 45 days. I said, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Let me make up for lost time. Every time I went, I read this scripture to him. I'm fixing it to read to you. He never got tired of it. It enthused him every time. When we can have the Holy Spirit to illuminate it in our hearts, we also will get enthused every time we hear it. Of course, I'm talking about Romans 8:38-39. I'm persuaded that neither death, I'm glad he's the worst enemy on the front end, doesn't he? Right in the nose, death. For I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, present you faultless. I'm just going to stop present you faultless, okay? Now, I'm going to read you some scriptures. And I'm going to read all of them. I got 11 of them, but I can't comment on them. But I hope this will, cumulative effect, will make you feel secure. You can't imagine what it means to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We are going to be faultless. Let me say this. Right now, I can prove it to you by the Bible. Right now, we're faultless as far as justification is concerned. Not glorification, but as far as guilt is concerned, you don't have any guilt right now. You know that? You have no guilt before God. The Bible teaches that. Let's go to, I'll read you, I'll probably read all of them. Number 23:21. Israel is a sinful nation. We know that. And Balak hired Balaam to curse them. Just like the devil would like to get you cursed. Every time he opened his mouth, instead of a curse, a blessing came out. That's what's going to happen to you whenever anybody accuses you. Number 23:21. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. How about that? Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. All right. Isaiah 38:17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. That's why he cast them behind his back. Okay. Jeremiah 50:20. Man, this is, you're talking about a scripture. And this belongs to you. You're spiritual Israel. He's talking to Israel here, but he's also talking to spiritual Israel, which is all the elect. Jeremiah 50:20. In those days, in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. Oh, I'm trying to find some iniquity here. And there shall be none. The sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. I will pardon them whom I serve, whom I reserve. Brother, the devil would like to find some fault with us. He's a false accuser of the brethren, but he can't be found. It's gone. Carried away on Calvary, and our sins were placed on Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. We being dead to sins, shall live into righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. By faith in this glorious truth, you've heard them so much, so they can become ho-hum to us. God forbid, may the Holy Ghost revive these. This is the real stuff right now. This is the truth. All right, Micah 7:19. He will turn away. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. All right. I did a little research here. He said he's going to cast our sins in the depths of the sea, right? Well, have you ever heard of the Mariana Trench? It's the lowest place on earth. Close to the Mariana Islands, west of the Philippines. Here's how deep it is. The Titanic is resting at the bottom of 12,400 feet. All right? Mount Everest, of course, it's not in the sea, but it were 29,035 feet. The bottom of the Mariana Trench is 36,200 feet. In other words, if Mount Everest were put on the sea, the bottom would still have 7,000 feet to go. How about that? And your sins have been cast into the depths of the sea. That included me. I heard a story one time. I don't know if it's true or not, but it should be true. It's a good story anyway. I heard this story one time about they had this church, kind of a sophisticated church. And so there's one spiritual-minded man there who he just sometimes just goes so happy he'd shout and embarrass these genteel people. They asked the deacon to do something about this guy. I mean, he's disturbing the services. So they came and talked to him and said, you know, you're disturbing the people by shouting. He said, I'm so sorry. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put you back in the foyer and give you a book to read. So when you feel a shout coming on, just start reading that book and you won't be disturbing everybody. So he agreed to do that. All right. They put him back in there. Man, after about 15 minutes, they heard the awfulest shout you ever heard in your life. And everybody said, what in the world makes you shout? You got a geography book. He said, yeah, I know I got a geography book. Look at this Mariana Trench. 37,000 feet deep, and my sins have been cast in the depths of the sea. I don't make anybody want to shout. I don't make anybody want to shout. May it be that real to us. John 13:10. You've heard this almost every time we have the Lord's Supper and the washing of the saints' feet. Jesus said to him, he that is washed, that is not say to wash his feet, but he's clean every whit. Every whit. You're clean, but not all. Talking to people who betray him that same night. You're clean every whit. No sin left whatsoever, not even a speck. Not even one speck. Ephesians 1:4, one of your favorite scriptures. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy, without blame, before him in love. Ephesians 5:27, talk about the church. And he means the elect here in this particular scripture. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, he'd be holy without blemish. We're like a beautiful bride of God. I kind of had something happen to me during the men's meeting. Nobody said it in the same words, but I got this concept that Jesus Christ fell in love with me before the world began. Now, I fell in love with Judy. And I remember when it happened. That don't always happen to everybody, but it happened one night. I won't go into all the details, but I fell in love. And you know what? Jesus Christ, my friend, fell in love with his saints in the color of grace before the world began. And that's an abiding affection. Not only does he love us, he's affectionate. Sometimes we say, I love you, but I don't like you. That's what he said. He likes you. You say, I'm ugly. No, you're not. You're maybe ugly now. You look like you're ugly, but justification-wise, you're pretty. He can't wait to come and have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Right now you have an engagement ring. Every time the Holy Ghost comes to you in his felt presence, that's looking at your engagement ring. But we will be united with him as our husband, with his bride, and he can't wait, my friend, for us to have that wonderful time. Colossians 1:21-22. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, get this, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Hope you'll take time to study some of these out. You know, just look at these words and getting on them really helps out a lot. I got two more to go. I'll be through. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, my final one is Revelation 14:5. I want you to think about this. God is so holy, it's just incredible. We can't even begin to understand it. I don't know what I'm quoting. I'm going to try to quote this from 1 Timothy 6. I'm going to have to turn there. Maybe I better turn there. I guess I better turn there. I want to show you how holy that throne of God is. Let's over 1 Timothy for a minute. I might not get it right. We can't imagine what it's like. We just can't imagine it. We cannot imagine it. You know, he's going to destroy his enemies with the brightness of his coming. Now get this. This is over in 1 Timothy chapter 6. This is starting in verse 14. 1 Timothy 6, beginning of verse 14. Now just try to picture the radiant glory with the throne of God. Then this scripture I'm fixing to read to you from Revelation means a lot to us. That thou keep this commandment, this is 6:14, 1 Timothy, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach into, who no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and glory, power everlasting. Amen. That light, my friend, people can't approach it, destroy us. You know, even when he was here on earth, when several occasions, he said, take your shoes off your feet, you're on holy ground. And you talk about holy ground, my brother. Well, what's so good about that? Let's read about it here in Revelation. This, my friend, this is the Word of God. I'm not giving you a Dale Carnegie speech tonight. I'm not giving you a motivational speech. I'm giving you the holy Word of God Almighty. From the infallible, inerrant, perfect Word of God. And you believe it because you've been born again. You may not always believe it like you want to. So we say, God, help me even have a greater, open my eyes. I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This is Revelation 14:5. Now remember how holy the throne of God is. Revelation 14:5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. How about that? Without fault before the throne of God. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's the understatement, exceeding joy. We can't imagine how happy we'll be. In fact, on the Greek there, it's to leap for joy, really. It means to leap for joy. We'll be doing that. You remember that man in Acts chapter 3? He was just crippled. He wasn't like he was going to hell or anything. He was just crippled. And that must be bad to be crippled. And to have those ankle bones that didn't work right. And so when Peter and John were blessed by God to heal him, what did he do? Leaping and walking and praising God. Well, if he did that because he had a physical healing, what's he going to be like? We have perfect spiritual healing. Our glorified bodies will be walking and leaping and praising God. Before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. There'll never be another negative in your life after that. Sometimes we don't get along, right? I don't get along with people sometimes. Sometimes I don't get along with myself, to be honest with you. But my dear friends, we'll have perfect harmony. There won't be one dissonance. We'll be one as he's one. We're not going to be God, but we'll have this wonderful oneness in the same sense as the Holy Trinity in a way. Isn't that great? What are you worried about? Bills? Health? Age? Family problems? Our country going to pot? The world going down the tubes? What are you worried about? Forget it. Temporary. I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Holy, look not at the things that are seen. Things are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. That's the truth. Now, with exceeding to the only wise God our Savior. Let's talk about this in just a minute. He's so wise. He is so wise. He's never made a mistake. He's so wise, we can't begin to comprehend it. See, it's inexcusable for anybody to not believe in God. Now, I'm going to tell you, that, even though you're not born again, yeah. I didn't say to be saved. I didn't say to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you don't believe in God Almighty, you're without excuse if you're a human being. Romans 1 teaches that. Romans 1 says to us that when we look at God's creation, see, the intricacy of it, the intricacy of it, that we must postulate that as an all-powerful and all-wise being. If we don't, that's clearly saying Romans 1 says. Without excuse, we don't believe that. So, that's one of the ways he showed his wisdom. Let me read you a few scriptures on this wisdom. He's all, aren't you glad, wise? Now to the king, this Timothy 1, 1, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the king, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only wise God, be honor and glory, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I give you two or three scriptures on wisdom. That's a good one, isn't it? Romans 16:27. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how manifest are thy works, in wisdom hast thou made them. And the made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So let's look at creation sometime. We get so busy, we don't look at creation enough. You know, kind of funny, one time I read about this comedian. He said he lived in New York City, so I didn't know there was stuff such as dirt until I got it grown. We're so paved in the city, and we get so, you know, we don't really look at nature like we should. We all ought to look at nature. It's not the Bible, but it's almost like a Bible, according to Psalm 19. The most important Bible is the inspired Word of God. But my friend, God, the earth is full of His glory. The heavens show His handiwork. All right, Proverbs 3:19. The Lord, by wisdom, hath founded the earth, by understanding, have He established the heavens. Tony, you got to give us another talk on these times on some of the wonders of God in science. You got to do it. It's amazing what God's done. Then we come to the doxology. Praise the Lord for the doxology. So I hope you'll pray this sometime. Don't forget now, Acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And I always do a lot of the other stuff. I'll do my confession. I'll do my intercession, but I don't give enough adoration. I believe it would be medicine to your soul, if you will, let have some adoration. Like I said in Psalm 71, verse 8, let my mouth be filled with thy praise, with thy honor all the day. Now, you say, brothers, I don't feel like doing it, so I'd be a hypocrite. No, you wouldn't be a hypocrite. You'd be a hypocrite if you said, I feel like doing it. But if you don't feel like doing it, do it. You're not a hypocrite, because God always deserves praise. Let me have an amen on that. See, God always deserves our praise. And I found out, when I don't feel like praising God, if I start praising God, I start feeling like praising God. All right. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Glory is obvious. That's God's radiance. Majesty comes from a word that means greatness. Greatness. Dominion means strength. And power means authority. So to Him be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Let me quote that to you again. I'll be through. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. Brethren, meditate on these things. Meditate on these things. Now to Him, you can memorize this tonight if you wanted to. You do it in a week anyway. But now to Him that's able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, the only wise God, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.